The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bags are packed. Are you ready to go? This time tomorrow we'll be on the road, riding with you in the sunnier days. I wouldn't want it any other way.
It's time to name the neglect from typical food advice. Welcome to the Find Your Food Voice podcast, hosted by me, Julie Duffy Dillon. I'm a registered dietitian with 20 years of experience partnering with folks just like you on their food peace journey. What have we learned? Well, cookie cutter approaches exclude too many people, and you don't need to be fixed. It's not you. It's not me. It's all of us. Only together we can start a movement and fix diet culture. And we will. Let's begin with now. Hi, and welcome to episode 283 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, registered dietitian and partner on your food peace journey. How is that journey going for you today? You know, something that I firmly believe is that your food peace journey would probably be a lot flatter and not as much of an incline. It would be straight and clear, and probably have a point where you felt totally complete if we lived in a world that actually understood that diet culture was a part of it. Like, we're literally having to breathe diet culture's air everywhere we go. Wow. It makes this thing just so much harder. And, you know, recovering your relationship with food is really important work. You deserve to feel at home in your body. You deserve to feel safe in your body. You deserve to have pleasure with your body, including with food. Yes, like, that is a part of the human experience that I think every human should be able to have anytime they want. And a part of that is just so hard. Actually, not a part. Like, so much of that is so hard because diet culture is walking around unchecked. Something else I always say is that recovering from diet culture or your eating disorder would be so much easier if the world just recovered from its own. But that's taking a while. And the only way we're going to be able to change that, of course, is by us coming together and making that change. It's not your individual burden. But one of the parts that diet culture is really loud about is that certain bodies can fit. You only have to take one airplane ride to know that certain bodies have the ability to feel more comfort, and then all the rest are going to have to just suck in, contort, and feel pain in order to be able to use that seat. And this episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast is a diet culture IRL episode with Colleen Brumner. So Colleen is someone that works behind the scenes at the Find Your Food Voice podcast and PCOS Power, and also is someone that is really found some really hard steps as she has been recovering from diet culture. And today's episode just sifts through her experience where she did not get a chance to feel welcome because of her body. I appreciate you, Colleen, so much sharing your experience. And I know for you, the listener, it's something that you will also be really grateful for. But before we get to hear from Colleen and hear our discussion, a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast is brought to you by my PCOS roadmap. So if you are living with this chronic condition, PCOS, and you are also trying to recover from diet culture, that you're finding it so challenging to just move away from dieting as you're living with PCOS, well, I have a free download for you. This is a download for somebody who has been diagnosed with PCOS and also feels like, oh my gosh, I cannot even fathom starting another diet, but I feel like I have to. You don't have to. I promise you do not have to start another diet. Start with the PCOS roadmap. It gives you your first three steps to moving away from diets while living with PCOS. And by getting that download, you also will get on my email list for other products that I provide for people with PCOS. So you can get to that roadmap at julieduffydillon.com/voice. Again, it's julieduffydillon.com/voice, and you'll get right to that PCOS.
Did you know that every time you listen to an ad on this podcast, you help cover the cost of producing Find Your Food Voice? Thank you to our sponsor, Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense. Because of them, my team and I can continue our independent podcast. Equilibria is a women-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and back, my mind and body back into harmony. EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense is a 3-in-1 capsule that supports your digestive health and promotes gut barrier protection. It also promotes optimal vaginal pH. These probiotics were chosen because they are studied for women's health. And I love that you can subscribe. So if you find that Equilibria's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense helps you, you can subscribe so you don't have to think twice about running out and also save 25% off. I just started taking the Equilibria Daily Women's Microbiome Defense after a trip overseas that made my GI tract kind of funky. I am hoping that it helps make things just a little bit easier, easing back in. And also, as a woman in midlife, I'm always looking for ways to help with vaginal pH. If you are not in midlife yet, just be aware, it's a thing that is around the corner for you. So head to myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE for 15% off Equilibria's Microbiome Defense and much more. That's myeq.com and use code FOODVOICE at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. All right, let's get back to the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
PCOS Roadmap. All right, let's go ahead and start this episode and hear from Colleen Brumner with her experience with diet culture IRL. Taking the good with the ups and downs. I want to see how the world turns round. Home is with you wherever that may be. Today's diet culture IRL is brought to you by never-ending fat phobia and the patriarchal world in which we reside. My husband and I celebrated our mini moon late September of last year.
The mini moon was our abbreviated honeymoon until we can have the real deal when COVID officially slows down. We frolicked around Richmond, Virginia, eating delicious barbecue, dressing up, and ended the weekend with a trip to King's Dominion. The weekend was filled with love and laughter. We had the best time until an event that happens all too often living in a fat body occurred. We waited 45 minutes to ride a roller coaster, and we got to the front. The lap bar wouldn't close over my lap. To my horror, a buzzing sound went off and a red light flashed above my seat as two men walked over and tried to shove me into the seat and jam the bar down. After about 5 minutes of my mortification, the ride took off. The lap bar was so tight on my legs, my thighs were bruised for days. I wanted to go back in time and just let my husband ride without me, but it was too late. Everyone was watching us. It was really, really embarrassing. Not only was this experience awful, it put a damper on what was such a perfect weekend. Once again, I was reminded my body doesn't fit in this world, and there was something wrong with me, not the ride. My husband was wonderful, of course, sharing they should have tested the seats out for folks or build rides that can actually accommodate everyone. This isn't a standalone experience. Someone close to me shared a similar story. They paid an exorbitant amount of money to visit Pandora in Disney's Animal Kingdom, and when they got to the ride, they were unable because of the size of the seats. Why wasn't there information on the website to let them know the dimensions before they bought their ticket? Why don't people think about the ways these decisions affect other people? It's honestly so disheartening and happens all the time. So today I want to invite Julie to hop on IRL and help unpack today's diet culture IRL.
Hey, Colleen, thank you for sharing this experience. When I was reading through it before you recorded it just now and then listening to you, it's so heavy. Thank you for sharing your experiences. First of all, that is something I just want to thank you for doing. But So one thing I wanted to say to kind of start things off, thinking about a listener too, is this experience is probably the number one reason why clients have ended work with me and decided to pursue gastric bypass surgery. The roller coaster, that moment or the fear of that moment. So that's why I'm when I was listening to you, I was this is really, really heavy. So, and when I say heavy, of course, I hope you know I'm not talking about the scale.
Yes, but of course.
It's a weighty, emotional, it's a lot. And I say that because for the clients who had left me because they were it's time, I can't do this work anymore. There was a part of them that would describe a lot of shame of especially people who have been unpacking anti-diet work for years and oh, I must be doing it wrong because I am, quote, still not able to get over this. And I'm oh my gosh, this doesn't make them a bad person or they're not doing it right. This world is so not built in the way that it needs to be built to be accessible. But I know we'll get to that. But I just wanted to name that. This is it's a really big deal. And so many people would minimize it. Why do I think it's such a big deal? But it is, And you sharing too about your, you just gotten married. And I was following along on Instagram with your pictures. And you all look so in love. And everything was so sparkly and warm fuzzy. And just to, yeah. Read about this part.
To know behind the scenes that this event happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. So let's walk through the experience, what that felt like for you.
Oh my gosh. I know that this experience is shared by many people. So I want to name that as well. Mm-hmm. And just remind everyone that the world not making space for you is not your fault. So that's kind of
Can you say that again?
Yeah. The world not making space for you is not your fault. And I think in that moment, I was mortified. Mm. Everyone was in line, staring at us. as these men like jammed the seat bar down on me. And like, honestly, all I wanted to do was get up and run or like melt into the seat. I wanted to just disappear completely. And I think that in that moment, I mentioned this when we were talking before, but I felt like I wasn't like my normal like body advocate self. I felt like all that power that I have like felt like I've internalized in this space was like stripped away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what is so heinous about fat phobia and the system and society in which we live is that it makes you feel really small and it makes you feel ashamed and it makes you feel like you can't really tackle things like maybe you normally would feel like you can. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, in that moment, I just was like, oh my God, this is mortifying. And mm-hmm. I was really embarrassed. Yeah. And then like, I mean, you know, sitting next to the love of my life and him, I think feeling my discomfort was also like a whole nother aspect of it. So yeah, it was.
The word heinous is just what I want to highlight. 100%. That is like such a great word to describe that. And you know what, when you mentioned earlier, like you weren't like a body positive advocate in that moment. My instinct was to argue with you, but not to like invalidate your experience. Please. I just know that's not what I'm saying, but like you're living in the same world as other people who are like knee deep in their dieting and, a human being. And so even though you were like reacting to the world not being accessible, I'm like, you're still an advocate, like in that moment, you know, like that's what I wanted to argue with. Like that didn't take that away. And because like, again, I think it's you're not doing it wrong. You're not doing it wrong. You know, like they made the seats too fucking small. And they didn't have any informed consent about like, oh, this may not be accessible for everyone.
Right.
You know?
And I know some locations have like seats outside and the thing I'll say about that is that this place did have a seat outside. And when I tested the seat outside, it worked. So that's the other thing that was really awful.
Oh no. I was going to say that because I know like a company or an amusement park that's like down closer to where I live that's owned by the same company as the one you went to. Many of the rides, not all of them, but many of them have, yeah, like the seat out front. So this had it, but it worked.
Yeah. So all of this to say, though, that, and I think I would identify as probably a small fat if we're using that type of terminology. Mm-hmm. All of this to say that it's still not accessible for people either at or larger than my size. Mm-hmm. And that's still a problem. Like mm-hmm. everyone should have the opportunity to go to an amusement park. And if they want to ride a freaking roller coaster, they should be able to ride it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think I could go on a whole diatribe about what I think should be accessible. But
make the list, you know, like, because there's a lot of places. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that because there may be places for you where you're not able to access. And there's some people who deserve the same dignity and humanity who are experiencing this inaccessibility everywhere they go.
Yes.
Because of their body size. And I can remember about like holding meetings in rooms where chairs were too small for people. And thankfully, someone would bring that to my attention and talking about like the bruises that these chairs would leave. And so when you were talking about that, also the two men coming over to like push down the bar, like there was something to me that I was like, that sounds very like inappropriate and violent. And just,
yes. And just like you, like, it was awful. I almost wish there was legislation for places that said something like, not only can you not discriminate based off of like body image, body size, but also you need to like actively look at your space and see if it is accessible for every body that is coming mm-hmm. in there, like mm-hmm. regardless of their ability, regardless mm-hmm. of their size, anything, and and have people like almost have it as a checklist, because
I
go into theaters where it's uncomfortable for me to sit, airplanes, like you name it, things are kayaks, like things are not made for us. And I say the collective, like us.
And that's not okay. And to you know, going back to people that I worked with individually who experienced so much harm constantly because the world was not accessible, that they were like, I'm going to like cut open this perfectly healthy organ and make me malabsorb for the rest of my life just to have access that I should have being alive, you know, like, and I mean, that shows, I think, too, for like people like me who are straight sized and have access everywhere, like, because I think some people will minimize how this is impactful and that someone will go and amputate an organ that's perfectly healthy in order to have access. I think that shows like how these microaggressions add up to be big, huge oppressive systems. And of course, then, if you're not experiencing access, like the craving to diet will be there, you know, and wanting to be smaller. And there's a buzzer. Oh my gosh, the buzzer going off at the big red light.
It was like, it was like a 1984, like flashback. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever read 1984, but just like, oh, like the fat police are coming for you. And like, I'm sitting in this with like the siren and the red light. And I'm like, okay, well, they're going to remove me from the ride or they're going to shove me into it, like one or the other. So it was really surreal.
Is this something that you and your new husband, have y'all talked about it?
I don't think we've ever actually sat down and like unpacked it like we're doing right now. I think after it happened, he was like, are you okay? And I was still, I'm someone that I'm going to answer yes, I'm fine after. But I'm not going to, I'm going to be reeling on it for a minute. I mean, and it's taken me until, that was September, it's March now. It's taken me months even to write down or talk about how that affected me. So, no. To answer your question,
I don't know if he listens to Find Your Food Voice, like, maybe this will be the invitation to talk about it. I don't know if, and actually, as I say that, I don't even know if you need that. What would feel like repair work for it? I don't know if that's part of it for you, but is there anything that you wish you could have said or done differently in that moment?
Honestly, I don't think so. Like, I guess in my mind, like, there's a reason that I handled it the way that I did. And that like now I have this opportunity to talk about it to people listening who can maybe either relate based off previous experiences that they've had or like maybe I think for me, it's hard. I always feel like I need to brainstorm an action plan. Like instead of just experiencing something in life and thinking about it, or I'm always like, okay, what's the next step I can take to try and like talk about this or relate to other people or so I think that's kind of my like need, is that it's not necessarily, I mean, Max lives in a straight size body as well, and as much as he loves me and definitely understands the work that I do, his experiences are not the same,
right.
and he's also a white man, so I mean there are a lot of differences for us that I think that I love him, but I'm not sure that I would need to unpack it with him. And if I did, he would he would listen and be wonderful. But
So that would that wouldn't be it. Well, and okay, so I want to ask you a question. If you're, and as I ask it, if you're like, nah, I don't really want to answer that, or that feels like I'm asking you something that probably has a lot of emotional labor to it. So I hope you'll let me know if you want to answer it or not. Is there anything like those two guys could have done differently? Like if you had the ability to like direct them to handle that differently, I mean, of course, like having different seating so like it actually was accessible. I mean, I'm not expecting those two guys to be able to do that. But is there anything that they could have done differently or you would recommend them to do when that happens in the future?
Oh, such a great question. I think first and foremost, like get rid of the buzzer / the light siren that goes off, which I recognize is probably a safety feature of the ride. So I get that like they want everyone to be as safe as possible in a ride. But I think, and also to these dudes' credit, they were doing their job, right? Like they're coming over and they are like, I imagine it comes from a good place of like wanting people to be safe on the ride. So I should preface with that. But I think that like the best course of action would always be to ask for consent. If you're going to come over and lay hands on anywhere near another human being, like, hey, is it okay if we, do you want to ride this ride? Should we try to push the lap bar down or would you feel more comfortable getting up and exiting? Mm. And like, we can recommend other rides for you that would work, like the Ferris wheel or like.
Colleen, that's so wonderful. That's like, what, like, that's such a concrete like direction, even just like ask permission and like, these are the two choices we have, you know?
Yeah.
And we can recommend other rides that are accessible.
And then cherry on top, like, sorry about this horrible incident. Here's a gift card to a free ice cream later. Like, just saying. I can heal pretty much like, all wounds with ice cream.
Right. I feel like they always give like the way the free soda, you know, I know they're like price margins really. The ice cream may not be as good of a price margin, but like, so King's Dominion, you know what you need to do.
I'm calling all King's Dominion employees. Now's the time. Rise up.
Right. But I mean, simple as that, like what a wonderful thing to include in a training for people who do roller coaster like safety checks is first to explain what's going on, ask permission and give a choice. Like we can even try to push down or you can exit. Which one would you rather do? I wish they would have done that.
That's like that can like go across to so many other like areas of life, right? Like ask permission, give a few options, like let the person in the experience decide what's best for them.
You know, something I want to highlight that we haven't is you're not new to anti-diet work. And I say that because so many people have told me they have felt so much shame whenever they struggle in these places where the world is not being accommodating. And, you know, you just describe this experience. I'm so grateful that you've given us this like window into your experience. And again, like it wasn't like you just started practicing anti-diet work a few months before. This has been something you've been doing for a while. So I don't know how many, I mean, it's in the year plus mark at this point. Yeah. So, what I'm gathering is like until the world is accommodating, that's going to happen. Like there's going to be triggers to like want to be smaller or the craving to diet. Until we fix the world, there's going to be that instinct to want to fix ourselves.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think you summarized it really well.
Can we just fix it already? Can we fix the world?
We're working on it with like a bunch of other badass people.
Well, and you know, that's the thing that like, that's the whole reason I changed the name of the podcast. Like, this is not an individual work. Like, this is like, we all need to join forces here and really get to work because like, this isn't going to happen just with like a couple people. Yeah. So I know you and I are ready to work. So are you, the listener, ready to work? That is the question. And fingers crossed.
Yes.
You are.
Welcome to the work.
Welcome to the work. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get messy. Yes. And oh my gosh, I want to give a metaphor that was told to me by Lindley Ashline and Laura Burns. I think, I don't remember which of the two kind of came up with it, but I've heard both of them speak on it. So that's why I'm naming both of their names. And Lindley and Laura, I may actually not give this metaphor all the beauty that you did. But this kind of reminds me of that. Like, especially if you're like, I already am working, like not you, Colleen, but the listener. And people talk a lot about body positivity and its flaws, but it's oftentimes the entrance point. And what Lindley and Laura have talked about is how body positivity as the entrance point, there's like donuts and pool parties with floaties. And it's pink and green and has sparkles and sprinkles and stuff. And people can stay in body positivity like land forever. But really, it's like downstream, there's this fat liberation work that is not having a pool party. And it's kind of like the dirty water like that from the body positivity muck that has just gone downstream. And it's not pretty. It's not going to be like one and done. And everybody there is in it for fat liberation and it's going to get messy. And I don't know. So that's what I was thinking about with this. Like, if you're ready to join, hopefully you'll come hang out in fat liberation and be willing to get really like muddy and dirty. And
it's also,
maybe not see
it's
it.
Also okay too. Like, if your entry point is that fat pool party, like I want to like name that too, because I obviously started, like, I would say in probably Instagram land when I saw a post about like being worthy. And it was a side-by-side post of someone in a smaller body and then the same person in their larger body. And it's and always seeing something that was like a before and after, or I was expecting those words on the image and it just said worthy and worthy. And I was like, whoa, radical. It like totally radicalized my mind and like got me curious about what that looked like. And I found it through, I think, the body positive hashtag. So I think that, like, yes, there is, like, definitely a space for all of those incredible, like, body positive, like, feel good moments that you, like, almost start to, like, crave and, like, seek out a little bit when you start on your journey. And then you do, you, like, take off the filter, the, like, whatever Instagram beauty filter is on there. And you're like, oh, shit. There's like a lot of stuff under here that I did not realize. And honestly, like unpacking some of that, it all feels like it's part of the work. Like it's like, whether it's for yourself or talking with other friends who are starting to come around or whatever it is, it's like, it's all messy and nuanced and exciting and terrifying.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because of course, like, body positivity for just about every person I ever talked to, myself included, like, that's how we start to access some of these conversations. So there's gratitude for that. And taking a step back into like the pool party sometimes, like, you know, this is when I have my blinders on and I forget about my privileges. Like, I'm not dealing with inaccessible, like, life, you know? So I'm able to escape just naturally, you know? So I thank you for saying that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like we just started like unpacking the, like, I don't know, like the carry-on. There's like so much more, but we need to wrap up.
Julie, I have like several checked bags. So we're going to be in this ride for a while together.
Colleen, I love that you just go with the metaphors and you expand on them. So great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your lived experience. I'm really grateful that you have shared that with the listener. And I'll see you next time for Diet Culture IRL.
Sounds great. Thanks, Julie and listener.
Bye.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Colleen in this episode's Diet Culture IRL segment. We do this segment every month and would love to know what you think about it. Do you have any opinions about what we shared today? Or have you experienced some really intrusive diet culture IRL moments that you would like to hear us talk about? Definitely let us know. You can tag me over on Instagram at foodvoicerd, and we would love to hear what you have to say. This episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast is brought to you by my PCOS roadmap. If you have PCOS and you are in the beginning stages of trying to move away from dieting, I have made a roadmap just for you. You can get it at julieduffydillon.com and you will find the download right there for you. You can also, by downloading that, get on the waitlist to any of the new programs that I'll be offering, including PCOS Power. So go to julieduffydillon.com and you will get yourself that download and be on the waitlist. If you enjoyed this episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast, I am so glad. And I would love it if you left a rating, a review, subscribed, or shared an episode. Actually, like, sharing an episode is a really powerful thing that you can do. There's a way to copy the link right now in Apple Podcasts and share it with a friend or maybe your therapist or dietitian, or share it over on social media. We love that because it helps the Apple Podcast algorithm just help people find like more topics on anti-diet living. And I really appreciate it. So thank you in advance for doing just that. And if you haven't left a review, I would really appreciate a review. And honestly, I would appreciate feedback too. So if you have any feedback about the show, you can do that right in the review too. All right. Well, enough of all that. I look forward to getting a chance. Oh my goodness. Can't talk. I look forward to getting a chance to talk with you in next week's episode. But until next time, take care.
Thank you for listening. I am Julie Duffy Dillon, and this is the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Ready to join the anti-diet movement and take the Food Voice Pledge? Go to julieduffydillon.com and sign your name to the growing list of people saying no to diets and yes to their own food voice. The Find Your Food Voice podcast is produced by me, Julie Duffy Dillon, and my team of kick-ass folks. I couldn't make the show without Yelly Cruz, assistant producer and resident book fiend, and Colleen Bremner, customer service coordinator and professional hype master. Audio editing is from Toby Lyles at 24 Sound. Music is Fly Free by Hartley. Are you looking for episode transcripts? Get them at julieduffydillon.com, where you can also submit letters for the podcast, give us feedback, and sign the Food Voice Pledge. We need your voice to end diet culture. We literally can't do this without you. Subscribe to the Find Your Food Voice podcast to get weekly inspiration and education on how we can defeat diet culture and reclaim our own food voice. I look forward to seeing you here next week for another episode of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. Take care.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.